Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us for Missions Conference 2011 on Wednesday night, November the 9th.
We're going to sing an old hymn, Jesus Saves, a good mission emphasis on that. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the ways. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. An endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Singing. And then another good old hymn, Jesus is the light of the world, send the light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light. Blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Till the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace be everywhere about. Send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere. Still standing. We don't have the words up on the video, but there's a chorus. More precious than silver, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Let's sing through that. Lord, you are more precious than silver.
Waiting to hear some of the things that God's been doing for you in Japan, for you and Patty.
So happy to be here and happy to see everyone. We have so many friends in this church and of course, people that have known me anyway, for 35 or more years or more, ever since I was a baby. But just put up with me anyway, and we'll see what the Lord will show us tonight about what the Lord's been doing in Japan. So I'd like to start with my slides. Thank you, and see if we can share the blessings. Japan needs Jesus, and this is the view out from our church window. Let me see here. There we go. And John and Patty Himes in Japan since 1981. I was trying to count. It's either five or six terms. I always get mixed up on that. But we just thank the Lord for how he's used us there. Our son Paul is at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary now, working on finishing up his dissertation for his PhD in New Testament, with especially in Greek. And we appreciate your prayers for him. This is what we looked like when we went to Japan 30 years ago. Paul was a baby. He grew up in Japan, and we went to language school and many other things, so too many to tell in a short time. We're now in the city of Asahikawa on the island of Hokkaido, and we love it there. It's an absolutely beautiful place. Everywhere in the city is beauty, and if you want to come over and visit us, come and see us, and we'd love to show you some of this beauty. That's me, of course. That's not a beer, I just want you to know. It's Coca-Cola, I think. Lovely area to live in. This is at a place called Tenninkyo, which has a beautiful waterfall down the way. And there's another place near here that has, I think it's six parallel waterfalls, huge ones going up about 10 stories. And such a lovely island to live on. Over on the ocean, in the city of Rumoi, we took this picture down on the beach. And really enjoy God's nature there. Of course, we do have a little bit of snow, too. This is at the annual Asahikawa Snow Festival, which has the largest, it's been recorded in the Guinness Book as the largest freestanding snow sculpture in the world. You know, every year they build a building like this, have a stage on the front where bands come and play. And by the end of the winter, which lasts about 6 months, we have something like 6 to 8 feet in the yards of the houses in the city. The religion is Buddhism. The typical Japanese will say, well, I'm a Buddhist, if you ask what his religion is. Shintoism is also prevalent. That's the native religion of Japan. And our job is to win those folks to Jesus Christ. I've written a number of tracts and pamphlets and books to seek to do that. And so we try and get the tracts out, especially door to door. And we enjoy doing this. We can stick the tracts in the mailboxes, but don't try that here in America. You might get in a little bit of trouble. Patty and I go out every Thursday and get tracks out and then have a little date at Starbucks later on, which happens to be in the hospital. So if we get sick, we can right there in the Starbucks, we can check in. Pat, we get many times to witness here as we pass the tracks out. Here's Patty witnessing to a couple of little old ladies and in Japanese. I also go down on the what's called the Kaimonokoen, the shopping district downtown, an outdoor mall, and pass out tracts to those that come along. One who was saved through this effort was Mr. Usuki, and I'll tell you a little bit more about Usuki-san, a very interesting man. Well, Patty also has a ministry in teaching English to Japanese ladies. This is at a restaurant downtown. You see the two American ladies there from our supporting church in Danville, Illinois, over to visit. But Patty has had many chances to share the gospel in this setting. Natsumi is a young lady we met doing Starbucks evangelism, and she works there, and Patty teaches English to her also, and that's in our church building. So there are many different ways to get the gospel out, seeking to build bridges to the souls of people to win them for Jesus Christ. Victory Baptist Church is the name of our church, Shori Baptisto Kyokai, and if you can say that in Japanese to me later, I'll give you a prayer card for free. Mr. Ueno was saved 10 years ago. He's our leading member, I think. And he was saved when his wife died of cancer. She was a Christian lady, and he wanted her to be buried in a Christian tomb. And we happen to have a church grave. But I said, Mr. Ueno, you need to know that you'll meet her again someday in heaven. And so he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. His father is Unomiya-san, and he was 92 years old when he went in the hospital for surgery, and I visited him there, and he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior in the hospital there. Fought in World War II as a machine gunner, saw many terrible things, but the Lord gave him forgiveness in his heart. Well, this is Mr. Usuki that I mentioned before giving his testimony. At our sister church across town, they have a baptistry, and we were happy to baptize him there 2 years ago. A very unique man. I'll give you a little bit more about him later. Another baptized recently this year in July was Miss Shimo Bol, a single lady of about, I think she's about 31 now. And please pray for her. She wants to get married, and she's asking our furlough replacement pastor, is it all right if a Christian marries an unbeliever? And so, but she's growing in the Lord, and we thank the Lord for her. Mrs. Watabe was saved years ago. She's not coming right now. Her two daughters here on the left is Shiho, who was one of the very first saved when we moved to Hokkaido when she was just a little girl. She and her sister came to our church when we started it in our home just to see what the foreigner's home was like. And on the right is her little sister, Mai. And Mai is in the basketball team at her grade school. So this hinders the family from coming to church like they should. So please pray for them if you think of it. Habazaki-san, he was saved and baptized 10 years ago also after our tract distribution. And last year in January, he had a stroke. Recovered, took about a year to recover from that, and then they put him in a home for dementia patients. Every time we go to see him, Mr. Habazaki says, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going back to church. I'm getting out of here real quick. I'm going to go back to church. He loves church, but he may never go again. We're going to try and help him somehow, but his sisters want to prevent that. And so we preach in the church, of course, just like you do. And Mr. Ueno there, he's leading singing. And we have meals once a month. We have a meal with all our church people and have such a wonderful time. And sometimes we'll have times at our home for all the believers. There's some of our believers there having a good time at our pizza party. And then we had some games afterwards, American games. Camp is another way to reach folks for Christ. Seven churches went together in this camp, I think it was 2 years ago, and we had a wonderful time there. And then another way we fellowship is with our Hokkaido Fundamental Pastors Fellowship. These are Japanese pastors and American missionaries all gathered together to hear the Word of God for two services in one day and eat dinner together and fellowship. And this has been an excellent way to network and get good things to bless people from each other. So we thank God for that. Hokkaido Bible Research Institute is what we call our little Bible Institute. It's a great big name for just a little operation. I put together outlines on doctrine, especially and on practice, how to win souls to Christ and so forth, on my computer and print them out and put them in the binder and make a what's called a comb binding on them. And this is a set of lessons on the Holy Spirit and revival. And we've also had some of our books printed in regular book form in different ways to teach the Japanese people the Word of God. This is a class on ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. Mrs. Sato there on the right is studying intently and worked hard at the class. She moved down last fall to Miyagi Prefecture with her little daughter, Hitoha-chan, and that's exactly where the right next to Fukushima, where the worst of the earthquake took place. I'll share a little bit more about that later. Patty's our camera person, and she's putting my lecture on a digital videotape, and then we'll put that on the hard drive and put it on a DVD disc and produce discs this way. That's the Book of Romans. One of those is the Book of Romans, and don't remember what the other one is. Can't see it right now. Let me see. Yeah. Oh, that's How to Work for God in the Church on the left, and 24 lessons on different ways to serve God in the church. So then we ship them off to various places around Japan. Five or six places have used our DVDs, and we thank God for this opportunity. And, of course, the people in our churches, we want to help them grow in grace and knowledge also this way. I also teach Greek, that's very hard to put on a DVD to understand on a DVD, so I teach it live right now to one Methodist man who wants to become a pastor. He doesn't know it, but I'm praying for him to become a Methodist too, a Baptist too. tongue slipped on that one, but Baptist. I want him to be a Baptist, but whatever the Lord wants for him. We have a Bible translation effort. We're working on a public domain translation of the New Testament, because what we have is an excellent translation, but it's very hard to get permission to print. I'd like something that anyone could print. This is the classical Japanese version by a pastor named Nagai before World War II, and we're patterning somewhat on Pastor Nagai and his version, excellent version. On the right is Frank Musk, who is our furlough replacement missionary while we're in the States. He spent over 40 years in Japan as a missionary and knows the language fluently and the people. On the left is Uncle Mia, Mr. Miyakawa, a retired high school English teacher. And we just thank God for this man and his knowledge of Japanese and English, and also his boldness. He's not a bit afraid to tell me, "Pastor Himes, that sounds just like a junior high student. Must change. So I send the files to my son, too, who's the Greek expert, and he's not afraid to tell me, "Dad, you really blew it on that one." So it's a humbling experience, but we thank God for the opportunity. There, Uncle Mia and I are working on the translation. The end. Or is it? Whoops, I just went too far. The last one. Let me see. I wonder if we can get the last one up there. The end. No, I had one more on there, but it's not working. The globe, there we go. There's still an entire world that needs Jesus Christ as Savior. All right, thank you. May we have the lights up, please? I'd like to share more of what God's doing in Japan and through our ministry in the framework of the Great Commission in Mark, which probably every one of you can quote. And I learned it as just a little boy, and I've been able to quote it ever since. Can you quote it with me? I'll quote it in King James Version. You quote it in whatever version you prefer. Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's all I'm going to start with here. Just like to share with you. 4 points from that. The command is cooperation. Go ye. It's plural. And the command is comprehensive, into all the world. The command is compassionate. Preach the gospel, a very compassionate thing. And the command is complete, to every creature. When I was called to Japan as a missionary, I immediately told the Lord, "No way. Don't want to go there." And there are times still when in Japan I'll say, "Lord, you sure you want me here?" 160 years of Protestant missions, and less than 1% claim to be Christian after that time. But you've seen the screen, you've seen the pictures, you've seen that God does save people there. There are some precious people that God has saved. I have here my mother's Bible, and many of you knew her, and one of her Bibles, one of her many Bibles, and I'm going to use that tonight. So let's just take a fresh look at the Great Commission. Before I left Japan, thinking about what the Lord would have me to speak on in America, and this came up in my mind, and I thought, everyone talks about the Great Commission, and that's the missionary standard. Can't I be a little unique? But the Lord began to work on my heart and show me several things here that perhaps I should share. And so I'd just like to take what was to me a fresh look at the Great Commission. First of all, the command is cooperation. Go ye. It's the plural. You go in modern English. You people go. You guys go. And when you think about it, the Lord was speaking to the disciples, and he was giving them a task, and that means they were to cooperate. Have you ever, you parents, have you ever said to your kids, just get out of the house. Just go out and, do something. Just leave and leave me alone. You got so frustrated, you just wanted to be alone for a while. How many parents have done that? Anyone? Or how many will admit it? Yes, there's a few parents have done that. Any of you kids, your mom and dad ever said that to you? Just leave that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. They're honest. They are. Great. If mom and dad say, "Go out into the yard and rake the leaves," that's a totally different situation, right? That's a task. And the parent expects the children, if there's more than one child, to cooperate on it. So obviously Jesus meant the disciples to cooperate here. Now this is a cooperative effort, reaching the world for Jesus Christ. It's a cooperative effort. You and us. The command is to all of us. And this supporting church, which has supported us so many, many years, and us on the mission field, we are in this together. We can't do it without you. Look at Philippians 4:10, please. Philippians 4 and verse 10. I consider Philippians as to be a missionary prayer letter, because it's the Apostle Paul writing to a supporting church. Now, apparently he started that church, but they did support him. Look at 4:10, Philippians 4:10. And it's a very interesting verse here. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Said, you started support, you had to drop me for a while, but you started, in modern, you know, missionary language, you dropped me for a while, but then you took on my support again. Look in verses 14 through 19. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did to communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I believe, you know, based on this verse and other verses, that God specially blesses churches that are strong supporters of world missions. And I think God has blessed this church because of that. Because verse 19, that we all love so much, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's contingent in the context on missionary support. So I thank God for the support of this church for all those many years in financial support, and sometimes other support, and in also in prayer. Ephesians, turn to Ephesians, please, chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Once again, this is a precious verse that many of us love in verse 18, and yet it's in the context of prayer for a missionary. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So just pray for everybody. Pray for all the saints. Pray for all the believers. And that's what Paul is saying. But then in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Just pray for me, guys, that God will use me there on the mission field, is what Paul is saying. And we certainly need your prayer. It's not always easy. Just before we left Japan, I was diagnosed with a problem in my left knee that I can't remember right now. Osteoarthritis, I guess it is. And, I really felt bad about this. And I reached 60 years old on December 3rd. And you know, sometimes on the mission field, you get kind of, you know, looking at just your own problems, and it's kind of lonely out there. And then I come back, and I hardly tell anyone that anymore, because everyone I tell has a worse problem than I do. Oh, yeah, I got that in both my knees. Oh, forget it, you know. So that's one reason to come back on furlough, so to find out there's a lot of people a lot worse than you are. But we still need your prayers. We need your prayers on the mission field. And 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2 is talking about that also. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. And here once again, the Apostle Paul to a different church is asking for prayer. Says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. The word of the Lord. I just want to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. Just pray for us that we can do that, the Apostle Paul is saying. In verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And then 2 Corinthians 1:11 puts it all together. So these are passages that Paul is saying, pray for your missionary that you support. Remember, we read in the previous passage, Thessalonica supported Paul as a supporting church. Put it all together. One more church that supported Paul, 2 Corinthians 1:11. The Corinth church also supported Paul as one of their missionaries. Now, it wasn't evidently every month, $50 or $100, whatever, $200 to the missionary on the field or to the mission board. Paul didn't have a mission board and so forth. But they sent Epaphroditus out, go take our support to this missionary, Paul, that we want to support. 2 Corinthians 1:11 puts it all together. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So Paul puts it together here for the Corinthian church. He said, a gift came, and you got to pray for us. So these two things go together. So I trust everyone will take one of our prayer cards and pray for us. It doesn't get easier, and especially when you develop arthritis, as we get a little older. And things change on the mission field, too. We just had this huge disaster. A lot of people, wherever we go, are asking us, and of course we've already been asked here about what it was like for us. We are on the island of Hokkaido in the city of Asahikawa, the third largest city north of Tokyo, 320,000 people, 500 miles north of the epicenter, but we felt it. It was so massive an earthquake in March that we felt it. Patty was on the fifth floor of our apartment, and it shook so much she got queasy. I was at the church on a second floor. It didn't quake so much, but I thought Uncle Mia was, I was with Uncle Mia translating. I thought he had his foot on my chair pushing it, and I looked down. Oh, there's no foot there. What's going on? And then Patty called me and said, we just had an earthquake. We knew at that time it was incredibly massive because we never have earthquakes in our city, so we knew somewhere it had to be a massive earthquake. And we turned on the television and saw how terrible it was. Triple disaster, the earthquake, the tsunami that came in that probably did even more damage than the earthquake, a massive tsunami, the worst probably in all of Japanese history for the earthquake and the tsunami, and then the nuclear disaster. We've not been affected by the nuclear disaster directly. The tsunami did come on our island at about a 4 or 5 foot tall wave and swept away. I called a pastor friend down on the coast to make sure he was okay, and he said, I'm fine. He said, all that happened here was a container was swept out to sea, some cars were swept out to sea, and one drunken man was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But so very little damage was done on our island. But continue to pray, please, for Japan, that hearts would be open to the gospel. I've not gone down into the earthquake area, but many missionaries are. Dan Roberts with our mission board has gone in many times to the earthquake area and taken in. For a while there, he was going every week. I don't know that he's still doing that, but he was going to about 10 places up in the mountains that had received very little relief supplies from the government, very, very little in the way of relief supplies. And so he was going in with loads, and I just read that he's just received another load, and they're going to take in another load of relief supplies. It's still an ongoing effort. The nuclear problem, I told you about Mrs. Sato that moved down there. Her apartment was spared. It was not destroyed by the earthquake, and she is outside the earthquake area. We prayed especially for her, and I kept trying to call her and contact her by cell phone. Cell phones were totally down for 2 or 3 weeks, I think it was. You couldn't make any calls into the area. So I called a young lady who had come the previous fall several times with Mrs. Sato, and that was Miss Shimobo. And I called her and said, have you heard about anything from Mrs. Sato? Because they were close friends. They worked together. And Miss Shimobo was not yet saved. And she said, no, I haven't heard anything about her. But that was the impetus that got Miss Shimobo to come back to church. She began coming to church. We began having Bible studies with her, and she trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and you saw her baptized on the screen. So Japan, after 160 years of Protestant missions, still less than 1% Christian, but there are precious souls there that God saves, and we thank God for that. The command is cooperation. You guys go. You pray for us. You support us. We go, and it's all one big team. Secondly, it's comprehensive into all the world. We, as a team, then, are responsible for the entire world. John 3:16, for God so loved the, what? World. And precious verses we all know so well. But to apply it, I began to get some new insights into this. Maybe when About 3 years ago, the Japanese pastors, you saw our Japanese pastors fellowship, and the missionaries and pastors get together twice a year, and it's been a wonderful time of learning to cooperate more and more and so forth. The Japanese pastors asked me to lecture to them on Islam, because they didn't know anything about the Muslim faith. It was new to them, this whole global crisis and so forth. It was all new to them. So I did some research, and I read books, and I made charts, and I got photographs off the internet and put them up there, and I lectured for 2 hours. And at the end of the second lecture, I said, "Now, if God ever gives you the chance to witness to Muslims, do so. Take that chance, because God loves them too. God loves Saudi Arabia. God loves Egypt. Did you know God loved Osama bin Laden? Amazing but true. We could never love him. Amazing but true. God loved Osama bin Laden. We are responsible for the entire world." So after I said that, I got an email from a Japanese missionary in Bangladesh, a Muslim country, Dr. Tomioka, a friend for many years. And Dr. Tomioka said, "Pastor Himes, come to Bangladesh and preach to us." Now, this is something I couldn't put in my emails because it would endanger Dr. Tomioka. The Bangladesh secret police actually keep a watch on him to make sure he doesn't stray from his visa. And so I had to say, yes, I'll go to this Muslim country. Buddhists are enough for me. I didn't want to go to the Muslims too, but you know, I'd said it, and I had to do it. So I went 2 years ago in the fall to Dr. Tomioka's ministry over there. He's in the northern part of the country. The ABW hospital is in the southern part of the country, as I understand. The Baptist Men Missions work, which he's with, is in the northern part of the country. I flew in to the Bangladesh International, Dakar International, what is it, International Airport, and it's got about 8 gates. Not many people want to go there. Incredibly poor country, 86% Muslim. I rode in a van for, I think it was about 6 hours over terrible, terrible roads, and finally got to where it was. I have to say, it was a spectator thing for me. I went there and simply watched what God was doing. It was just amazing what God is doing in that Muslim country. 86% Muslim, something like 12% Hindu, I think. I preached to 800 people in that Muslim country. The church building, from here back to there, a little further from here back to there, is as wide as these two middle sets of pews. And on the side are little rooms where people come and stay during a weekend, and so they can be in church. And then out on the porch out there was packed with people. No chairs, no nice pews like this. Everyone's sitting on the floor, no mats to sit on even. They just all sat there, you know. The only chair in the place was the one they gave me and said, "Sit here," to the American, because they probably knew I couldn't take it sitting on the floor that long, and preach the Word of God. No come forward invitation. The believers go to people that have come in, visitors. People had come from a couple of hundred miles away and from many villages round about. They are getting the gospel out into something like 20 different villages around their city, which is a fairly large city. Dr. Tomioka is a medical doctor, of course, and running the hospital. And I just read his latest prayer letter too. Bangladeshi doctors have just resigned, and so we're praying that God will lead more doctors to that work in such a need. He took me through the hospital, lines and lines of people just waiting to be treated in his hospital. Totally lost people, the Muslim ladies in their burqas and the Muslim men and so forth. And if you didn't think they looked at the American walking through, And then I went to there's a little bookstore there, and I went to that little bookstore and met the man that was in charge of their literature ministry. He showed me his records. What they do is when someone's treated in the hospital, they can go into the literature ministry and they can watch the Jesus movie and get the gospel that way. And then they're invited to sign up for a set of correspondence lessons. And the man in charge of that ministry showed me his records. During the whole year, in the entire year, only one time was there less than 1,400 people taking those lessons. I saw a baptismal service. Now, these are not people saved in my ministry. This one reason I'm saying this is all, I'm just watching what the tremendous work God is doing there. And at a baptismal service, they have to all go through a baptismal course in order to be baptized. And so these were people that had been saved previously, and 46 Hindus, former Hindus and Muslims, were baptized by the national pastor. And I've said this in a number of places since coming back on furlough, and I've had others tell me, God is doing a tremendous work in Muslim countries right now. And I believe it from what I saw. Most of those were Hindus. Most of the people that were saved were Hindus, but there were Muslims saved too. They have their service in the afternoon, their evening service in the afternoon, because when they had it in the evening, the believers would walk home and the Muslims would beat them up. Especially, you know, Muslims who had turned Christian, who had believed in Christ as Savior. Just an incredible work that God is doing there. Now, you know, this is something that you didn't know because I couldn't share it in the prayer letters, couldn't share it with the supporting churches. But we obviously, all of your missionaries need your prayer, need your faithful prayer, because you don't know what we're doing out there sometimes, and you don't know what we're facing. Satan is working very hard, but there's such a huge task yet to be done. Over 2,000 languages spoken by 340 million people who still have no portion of the Bible. It's a huge task still to be done. And this team, we're the ones supposed to be doing it. How many here, you have at least 5 Bibles at home? Raise your hands, please. Almost everyone. Young people too. This has surprised me coming back. I've asked this question in a number of churches now. Almost everyone's got at least 5. How many, just for the fun of it, how many have at least 10 Bibles at home, probably? Quite a few of you, right? And yet there are 340 million people who cannot even hold a Gospel of John in their own language. What a task we have left to do. Thirdly, the command is compassionate and preach the gospel. That's a very compassionate thing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The most compassionate thing you can do for a lost person, whether they be a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu, a Shintoist, any religion, an atheist, the most compassionate thing you can do for that person is to tell them about Jesus Christ. Who will take away their sins, died on the cross for their sins, rose again the third day, and is now standing at the right hand of the Father, can take away their sins if they'll only trust Him as Savior. That's an incredibly compassionate thing to do. You can't add to the gospel and you can't take away from it. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, Paul told them that the gospel I gave you, that's it. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. If anyone adds to it, let him be accursed. If anyone preaches any other gospel than what I've given you, let him be accursed. That incredibly important. Why? Because it's the only way. It's the only way. I had a Japanese man, old Japanese man one time, when I witnessed to him about Jesus Christ, he said, "Well, there are many paths to the top of Mount Fuji, and they all reach the top. The thing is, Patty and I climbed Mount Fuji after we'd been in Japan about a year. There's only one path you want to take, folks. If you're going to climb Mount Fuji, just take the one path. There's another path on the other side that almost no one takes. And you don't want to take that path in the winter either. People die. They climb outside the climbing season, which is only the month of August, very limited. And they climb outside that climbing season. They're on their own. You know, there's no one to help them. And people die every year because they get off the path. There's only one good path. And of course, in the Bible, there's only one path. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." And so this is the meaning of missions. It's compassionate. We preach the gospel, and it's enough to save anyone. It saved Mr. Ueno. It saved Mr. Unomatsu. Ueno Unomatsu at 92 years old. And it saved Mrs. Sato, it saved Miss Shimobo, and it saved Mr. Habazaki, the people you've seen on the screen, and other people that you didn't see there that maybe have gone to some other church or in our church in Yokohama. The church logo that you saw for our Victory Baptist Church, Shōri Baptist Kyōkai, it was designed for me by Mr. Togo from Yokohama. When we lived in Yokohama, Mr. Togo trusted Christ as Savior. He was a drug addict, addicted to speed, amphetamines. And it destroyed his body so much that after we moved to Hokkaido, he used to call me every month in Hokkaido. And we'd talk for a half hour, and he was my friend, he was my buddy. He made that, a very talented artist, and he made that logo for us. And he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior as a drug addict. It can save anyone. And that brings us to the fourth point. The command is complete to every creature, to every created person. That's an interesting emphasis. Created creature, you know, as the King James, or every created person, you could translate that. The emphasis that God made every single person. God made Osama bin Laden. Wow. You know, I'll admit it, when that evil man died, I cheered. But God didn't. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, including every single Muslim in the world, every Hindu, every Buddhist. Ezekiel chapter 18. God didn't cheer. God did not rejoice when Osama bin Laden was killed. Ezekiel chapter 18 teaches us that. And verse 23. Ezekiel 18 and verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? God said, I don't get any pleasure at all when a wicked man dies. Chapter 33 and verse 11. Chapter 33 and verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Don't die, believe in me. I said I'd tell you a little bit more about Mr. Usuki, who was... We met him on what's called the Kaimono Koen, and it's a shopping park. It's an outdoor mall downtown. Our coworker Dean Zemke, the pastor of the church across town, and I go out every Friday or Saturday on street evangelism. We pass out tracts and we try to witness to folk. And so we're walking down the main. It's a big wide. It used to be a road, and they made it into a walking park. And we're going down that road, and we see. There's a man sitting on a bench there with someone else, and Dean stopped and talked to him. Well, after a while, and so I just stood there passing out tracts, and after a while, Dean called me over and said, John, come here. And so I walked over, and Dean said, I can't understand this guy. He was speaking a very macho form of Japanese, and it was Hokkaido dialect, those two put together. So it was very hard to understand, and I've been in Japan a little longer than Dean, and I was able to make it out what the guy was talking. Most of the time, I could tell what he was talking. Later on, he kept using this word, kawaii, kawaii. In Tokyo, that means I'm scared. So I kept trying to counsel him on, you know, you don't need to be scared, God is with you. And finally, I learned that in Hokkaido, that doesn't mean I'm scared, that means I'm tired. So I'm tired. Well, God's with you. Don't worry about it. Don't. And so Dean gave him a New Testament, and Mr. Usuki got that New Testament. He looked at it and he got real excited about it. He said, oh, the Bible, just like, you know, I bought a Bible. He had been divorced because of his infidelity. His wife had divorced him. He had hepatitis, which he had gotten from a bad transfusion when he was young, and now it had kicked in and was making him sick, so he was going to take interferon treatments for that. He had been the president of a small company, and, you know, rich, and, you know, just well known in the town and everything, but he was the third in line of that company, his grandfather, then his father, then he, and he had to close down the company because of his hepatitis. He couldn't run it anymore. He was very much searching for something. He remembered when he was a child, he went to a Catholic kindergarten. And so, remembering that kindergarten, he said, well, there's a God. I'm going to look for that God. And so he went out and bought a Bible on his own, went to a Japanese bookstore and bought a Bible on his own and began reading it. And that's when we found him. I began going to his house once a week and teaching him the Word of God and having Bible lessons with him and trying to get him to understand the gospel. Sometimes it may take a whole year for a Japanese person to just to understand the gospel. It's so foreign to them, so completely outside their experience. And so Mr. Suki and I would study the Word of God, and I learned some things. I learned that he had been in the penitentiary three times for drug-related offenses, selling drugs usually, I'm pretty sure, though he said he was himself a drug addict when he was younger, but he got over it. I also learned he was in the Yakuza. Americans like to say that, Yakuza. You Americans don't know any Japanese. Yakuza is the Japanese mafia. He was a mafia member when he was young, he said. But we kept on studying the Word of God, and one day he did understand the gospel, and he bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior there in his home. I continued to teach him, give him lessons about the Word of God and about baptism and so forth. And finally, he made the decision to be baptized. And you saw the picture on the screen where I baptized him. He had so much to learn. Very coarse, very crude. I remember one day in church, he wanted to take his cigarettes outside and smoke a cigarette after the service. And a little Hitoha was there, a six-year-old little girl and Mrs. Sato's daughter. And he took the cigarette and he said, "This tastes so good." He's teaching a little girl how good a cigarette is. And, "Oh, no, we don't do that," you know. Rebuked him many times in church. And yet he keeps coming. But after I baptized him, I learned, he told me this after he got up his nerve 6-8 months later. He told me, "Pastor," he said, "I got to tell you something." I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "After I quit the Yakuza when I was a boy, after I turned in my 50s, I rejoined." So please pray for this. He wants to quit the Yakuza. I have a mafia member coming to my church. And he wants to quit, but it's almost like slavery. It's incredibly difficult to quit, especially since the boss of the 200 in his gang in the town, in our city there are different Yakuza gangs. His has 200 members and doing many illegal things and some legal things. And he is taken to be the driver for the boss, so he's done his best not to be included in the illegal things anymore. And the man directly above him, the second level godfather, is a friend of his going way back to high school. But beyond that, it's a slavery in which if they call him any time of the day or night, he has to immediately drop whatever he's doing and leave and go and do exactly what the boss tells him. Otherwise, the consequences could be severe. They start out by cutting off a joint of the little finger. So if you see a person walking around town in Japan that is missing just one joint of his little finger, he's a Yakuza who made a mistake, who didn't obey. And he tried to quit once. He actually did quit once, and they came and found him and brought him back to the godfather and said, "You can't quit." So please pray as you think of it for Mr. Usuki, a wicked man, a drug pusher when he was young, a drug addict when he was young, a member of a mafia gang who wants to quit, is doing his best to quit. As long as he keeps growing in the Lord, we'll keep working with him. Loves the Word of God, loves the Bible, has read the book of Acts over and over again, and many other books in the Bible, and he marks almost every single verse. He likes the Bible so much he reads almost every single verse. He puts a line next to it. You go through the book of Acts. I don't know if you can find a book that doesn't have a line next to it. And in Japanese Bible goes vertically. You know, read top to bottom, right to left. And just everywhere, he's read it over and over again. Doesn't understand 95% of it, but he knows he loves it. It might be that he loves the book of Acts because Paul goes to jail so much. I'm not really sure. He identifies with that, you know. Oh, but folks, I'm trying not to be too preachy here. Just want to share with you what God is doing and hope for your prayers. But just think about yourself in your head. Who is the worst person you know? Maybe someone down at the store that's always cursing and foul-mouthed. Maybe someone in your neighborhood that's so hard to get along with. Someone at school a relative, maybe, that you don't ever want to be around? Who is the worst person you know? I guarantee they're not as bad as Usuki-san. They're not as bad as Osama bin Laden. They're not as bad as some of those Muslims in Bangladesh who used to beat up Christians and now have become a Christian. God can save the worst person you know. Not only God can save, God wants to save the worst person you know. God so loves the world, every single wicked person in the world. And so I trust that you'll remember Usuki. And next time you have a chance, that you'll just share with that person some Christian love and share with that wicked person the gospel when you can do that. And God can save them. God can save them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the privilege of being a missionary. And I know I could do more, and I know you could use me more. I pray that you'd help me to be an overcomer on the mission field and win more to you. When we go back to Japan, we'll see more saved, maybe even more Yakuza saved. That'd be wonderful, Lord. And I just pray that you'd continue to use Grace Baptist Church and worldwide missions and getting the gospel around the world. And that if there be someone here tonight who has someone in their mind that's a wicked person, a foul-mouthed person, a deceiver, a downright no-good person, that they would love that person with the love of Jesus Christ and witness to them about Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ who gives me strength, yet sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let gone. He'll carry strength is perfect.
That was wonderful. Thank you much. We want to receive an offering, so we're going to ask the men to come. And we thank you, Father, for the fact that you do take our strength and take our weakness, Father, and make strength out of it. We thank you that you continue to work in our lives to chisel away and make us what you want us to be, Father. Help us to be obedient to you. And for this offering, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.